Today, as it may not have missed your notice, is the first Sunday of Lent. Had the church been allowed to open on Wednesday night instead of us being back in lockdown, an Ash Wednesday service would have been held here at St John's, marking the beginning of Lent. Ash would have been placed on our foreheads, a dusty cross placed on each person to remind us that from dust we are and to dust we shall return. Ash Wednesday reminds us of our mortality. It also reminds us of our limitations as human beings, and it reminds us of our need for reconciliation with God. Ash Wednesday orients Christians definitively towards Christ. And Lent, the season of Lent, is the opportunity to set our compass to true north, that is, to turn our hearts and minds and the whole of our souls to Christ. Lent is 40 days or so, not counting Sundays, to dial down the clatter and the clanging of the world, to give ourselves the time and the space to reflect on who God is and to walk with Jesus day by day to the cross. So even though we weren't able to hold our Ash Wednesday service, the season of Lent has begun regardless. You'll see that there are no flowers in the church. The altar frontal is purple or mauve or violet. The ribbons on the lectern are purple, and there are purple stalls. In the church calendar, purple is the colour of Lent and Advent, the two seasons in particular of preparation, self-reflection and penitence. The colour purple is associated with sorrow and repentance, but it's also associated with royalty and therefore is a symbol of the sovereignty of Christ. Later in his Gospel, St. Mark writes, "The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, 'Hail, King of the Jews.'" Well, contrary to what many believe, Lent isn't a time to be miserable. Lent means spring and the hope and new life of Christ's resurrection. Lent is preparation for Easter. And as part of our preparation, the season of Lent encourages three practices: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. The practice of prayer is raising the mind and the heart to God, to attend to God, to listen to God, to present ourselves, all of ourselves, to God, to move intentionally into intimacy with God. That's what prayer is. In the psalm we read today, the psalmist prays to God, "According to your steadfast love, remember me for all your goodness' sake, O Lord." The psalmist prays, "In you, O Lord my God, have I put my hope. In you have I trusted." This is intimacy, deep intimacy with God. The psalmist pours his whole nefesh, his whole self, into this prayer, trusting that God, who is all kindness, will remember him and not remember his offences. Lent reminds us yet again, or perhaps it might be for the very first time, that God knows our innermost self, the noble parts and the ignoble parts. And knowing these still calls us into an abiding, trusting relationship. This year, my Lenten discipline will be to begin each day a little earlier and spend more time in simple prayer beginning with the psalm that we had beautifully sung for us today. God, I lift up my heart to you. It's a prayer of love and supplication and hope for transformation. A second practice is fasting, and fasting is abstaining. Some might give up lollies or alcohol or snacks or social media or some other daily pleasure. Some might try to address a bad habit or an attitude that one does not want to carry anymore. Whatever you choose, do it intentionally and humbly. Consider it a cleaning of sorts. We're saturated in everyday things. We're just saturated in things. And Lent allows us to cut back or to cut away things we might enjoy to an unhealthy level of overindulgence. Lent is a time to get things in perspective. Another practice is almsgiving. It's an old-fashioned word, but almsgiving, generosity. It's also at the very heart of the Lenten journey. To see beyond ourselves to others who have little or nothing. We can't say to a suffering person, it's their problem. It's our problem. Almsgiving, generosity, says in practical and even costly ways, I love my neighbour. We can reduce our own consumption or gratification in order to love more and to give more. To enter a holy space where our suffering brother or sister is valued far more than ourselves and where we make a material difference. This Lent, I'm supporting a rural clinic in Malawi in a remote town called Neno as they deal with the overwhelming challenges of rolling out the COVID vaccine. Words from our first hymn this morning are, love will be our Lenten calling, love to shake and shatter sin. Almsgiving is Lenten love in action to such a degree that it shatters sinful selfishness. And Lent is also a time of penitence and getting in honest touch with our limitations. We are very imperfect people, and there's not a person on earth, not here, not anywhere, who doesn't have limitations of some kind, some weakness. Lent is that time of looking in the mirror, of honest confession before God, and of turning, which is the meaning of repent, turning from the old self to a new self that is a little more like Christ. Well, if we turn to our gospel reading for a moment, we can hear that it's a familiar reading to us because the season of Lent begins in the very same place as the season of Epiphany, where the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River by John the Baptizer is shared by St. Mark. It's a fitting Lenten reading because in the early church, candidates for baptism were prepared through what our Lenten practices are, through prayer, fasting, and self-denial, of dying to the self and thinking about a new self in Christ. And they were baptized at Easter. Even today, on Easter Eve, people will renew their baptismal vows. So today we read about Jesus' baptism too. At his baptism, Jesus saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The heavens aren't gently pulled apart or gently prized apart. They're ripped apart. And God comes in human form in the person of Jesus. And Jesus' identity the ontology, the very nature of his being is revealed. Before Jesus' ministry begins, before he heals a single distressed person, before he calls a single disciple, before he preaches a single word, Jesus' identity is proclaimed. Jesus is the Son of God. Immediately, Jesus is driven, or forced, pushed, if you will, into the wilderness. We're not told much about his time in the wilderness or what the temptations are, other than he is with Satan, the adversary who opposes God's will, and he's with the wild beasts, and the angels wait on him. But whatever and with whomever Jesus wrestles over 40 days, so symbolic those 40 days, his time in the desert is not aimless wandering, directionless or random. It's spent in spacious, prayerful relationship with God, discovering what God is asking of him. And tempted though he remains sinless. And in this wilderness, with its inherent dangers and isolation, with everything stripped away, Jesus is prepared. The moment he leaves the wilderness, he is ready. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent, turn, and believe the good news. And the kingdom of God is as close as Jesus. Well, we are about to enter our own wilderness of repentance and turning. Part of our souls will be stripped away. We are being made ready. We don't enter Lent aimlessly or vaguely, but with our compass oriented to true north, our eyes on Jesus. This Jesus, the beloved, the one who breathes life into dust, the one with whom we will journey with prayer, fasting, and giving, the one with whom we will journey with humble and penitent hearts to the cross. And as Lent also means spring, over the next 40 days, we also prepare for that great climax of springtime, Easter, where from death springs forth new life.